Ryan Bain. Thanks for listening to this week's message. I believe it's a strategic mandate for 2025. Worship and abundance. We keep hearing over and over again the phrase, make room for the King. That's our goal for this year. Hope that this blesses you.
I did get to spend some time doing some amazing things that I'm excited to tell you about. In February, I am going to do a four-week webinar that you can register for, where I'm going to be doing some in-depth teaching on, are you ready? John 14, 15, and 16. I know that you've never heard us talk about that, but here's something that I realized. Of all of the years, this is a life message for me. And of all of the years that I have taught on John 14, 15, and 16, I do not have a central place where I had my notes and my thoughts around that. And so I spent much of this week compiling that and putting that together. And so I'm going to do a four-week webinar. It'll be via Zoom. And so there'll be information coming out how you can register for that. And I've actually written a companion devotional that will go with that, that I will make available to you guys as well. So that's what I spent some of my time doing this week. I really, really feel the Lord breathing on some of the messages that have come out of this house and the culture that is in this house being released into the world. And so I want to do my part to be intentional about that. And this is the precursor. Many of you know that we have been contemplating launching a podcast outside of what we do on Sunday. And so this is kind of a precursor to that. And I'm going to make it available to everyone, not just Awakening. And so, but I'm excited to talk to you about some of what I feel like the Lord is saying. I have really good news about the good year. How many of you want good news? I have really good news. If you do the same thing this year that you did last year, you'll get the same thing that you got. Y'all didn't think that was good news. I want to help you. I want to help you. If you do the same thing, if you have the same thought processes, if you have the same mindsets, if you apply the same energy, if you sow the same way, you're going to reap the same thing. Do you know why? Because God is a God of principles, and his principles are his automations. And 100% of the time, what you sow, you reap. Don't dare think I'm just talking about money. I haven't even got to that part yet. Don't dare. I'm convinced that one of the things that the Lord is doing to the body of Christ is he is opening our eyes to see. He's been talking to us for a long time about self-awareness. Do you know why he's been talking to the church for a long time about self-awareness? Because we're really, really bad at self-awareness. We really are. We really are. And I really do have good news, I promise. I really do have good news. But I refuse, as a leader in the body, to allow us to continue to do the same thing over and over and over and over again, expecting a different result. What did Einstein say about that? Right? And so I want to be very clear. I want to be very clear because, you know, it's at the beginning of the year, it's always a minister's temptation to come and fully declare the difference that the year is going to bring and everything that's going to happen. And I have some of that, but the truth of the matter is that if we don't apply it and we don't actually do the things, we're going to get the same thing that we have gotten every other year. And at the end of the year, we're going to be mad and frustrated talking about, I can't believe that this year happened like that again. I can't get no help in here. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Seriously. So I want to begin to talk to you. I have some really, really good news because the Lord's talking to me about some really serious stuff. And I have made a decision. I have decided that I am going to do things differently. Do you understand that what it means to decide? It's different than there's still a choice. When you decide, according to the etymology of that word in the Latin, decide means that I have removed every other option that could possibly be there And I have decided to do something different. And that's what has happened in my life. And that's what's happening in Awakening Church. And so we're going to make some decisions to follow the Lord. He's been very, very clear talking to Rebecca and I both about transition. As a matter of fact, in October, Rebecca talked to us a little bit about the Jewish New Year. And so I'm going to piggyback on that just a little bit today because we're in the new year. And you know, it can be confusing sometimes. Are we in the new year in October? Are we in the new year January 1st? Or when are we in the new year? How many of you remember Israel Houghton? Do y'all know that name? He's a worship leader, Israel Houghton. Yeah. And he said something on one of his albums one time. He said, joy comes in the morning, and morning is not necessarily what has an AM beside it. Morning is when you wake up. And so whether you want to follow the Hebraic calendar or you want to follow the Gregorian calendar, whatever it is that you want to follow, that's fine. But I'm telling you that God is beginning to do some new things. And here's the beauty of what I said before, that if you do the same thing, then you're going to get the same thing. The beauty of that is all we have to do is have a yes in our hearts to move into what he's wanting to release. Is that good? You okay? So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. And I'm going to read some scripture, and then I'm going to share a few things with you, and we'll see what the Lord wants to do with that. Didn't the worship team do an amazing job today leading us in worship? So good. So I have two specific words that I want to talk to you about, and I started this a few weeks ago. I don't even remember how I talked about this last year. That's what I remember. It was last year sometime. About moving into worship, okay? Worship, and you say, Ryan, you talk in some form, you bring every message that you've ever preached in your whole entire life back to worship, and you are right, because it is a key element in what he wants to do. But he's talking to me about two specific things, and if you want to write these down, you can. If you don't, that's totally cool too. But worship and abundance. Worship and abundance is what I'm hearing the Lord talking about. And so I want to read a little bit of scripture and jump into a couple things. I want to tell you, when he started talking to me about worship and abundance, I had no idea what the traditional prophetic implications were of the Jewish year. By the way, we're in the Jewish year 5785, okay? That started October 2nd, 5785. I had no clue. As a matter of fact, last week when we were in Dallas, I'm doing a little bit of study in one of the sessions, and I'm like, Rebecca, can you believe what this is saying? And she's like, yeah, I know. I said that in October. It's like, well, it's revelation to me. So anyway, Exodus chapter 11, verse 2. Tell all the Israelite men and women to ask their Egyptian neighbors for articles of gold and silver. Now, the Lord had caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the people of Israel, and Moses was considered a very great man in the land of Egypt, respected by Pharaoh's officials and Egyptian people alike. Moses had announced to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. At midnight tonight, I will pass through the heart of Egypt. All the firstborn sons will die in every family in Egypt, from the oldest son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the oldest son of the lowliest servant who grinds the flour. Even the firstborn of all livestock will die. Then a loud wail will rise throughout the land of Egypt, a wail like no one has heard before or will ever again. But among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. Let's jump to chapter 12. I'm going to read three verses there. Now the Lord spoke to Aaron in the land of Egypt, to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, everybody say this month, shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take to for himself a lamb, everybody say lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Mourning is not necessarily what has an AM beside it. It's when you wake up. He said, in the midst of national tragedy, listen, this is just plague number 10 of 9 that have ravaged Egypt, okay? So they are swirling. The nation of Egypt is swirling
The Israelites are their slaves. They have gone after their identity. They've gone after their livelihood. They've gone after everything they could. And so this is swirling. And the Lord speaks to Moses and he says, I am about to make a distinction between my people and the people of Egypt. And then he says in the very next verse to Moses and Aaron, and this is going to be the beginning of a new year for you. This is going to be a brand new beginning. And this is how we are going to order it. And on the 10th of the month, you are going to get a lamb. Everybody say lamb. I want you to understand that what the Lord is saying to us in this moment is he has invited us into this place of maturity and depth. He sowed a whole year, 2024, of maturity and depth into us to prepare us. I could take you back 5 years. I could take you back 5 years. 5785, okay? Five is the number of grace. It's actually the Jewish Hebraic word, hey, okay? It's the number of grace. Eight speaks to speech. Now, if you think I didn't know a week ago what 5785 talked about, let me talk to you about 5 years ago when I had no clue and the Lord began to speak to this body in the fall of 2019 going into 2020, and he said what? Keep your mouth shut. That was the initiation of a new decade in the Hebraic year. I know I'm going nerd on you just for a minute, but just stay with me just for a moment, and I promise you I have some good news. That was the beginning of a new decade that had to do with the mouth. I had no idea what he was trying to say, but he was preparing us 5 years ago prophetically to get our language in order with what he was trying to release to us. From that time, prophetically, he has announced to us many, many things. We've sent it out to you. You've seen it prophetically. He announced to this body before it ever happened, the revival that took place at Asbury. Do you remember that? Distinctly, he said, this is what's going to happen. And so there are numerous things that I could talk to you about. What am I saying? I'm telling you this because he is opening a door for us to begin to realize that what he has been doing this whole time is preparing us for what he wants to release. Now, I can imagine that the Israelites thought, there's no way that he has me in this place of Egypt and he's preparing me for this. And so God comes and he says, in the midst of national calamity, hello, in the midst of national calamity, I am going to make a demarcation between my people and the Israelites, and this will be the beginning of a new year. Why am I saying that? I'm telling you that whether you want to go October 2nd, 2024 for 5785, or you want to go January 1, 2025 for the Gregorian calendar, God is inviting us into a brand new beginning. He's inviting us into something that we have the ability to say yes to and move into a greater revelation and a greater understanding of what he's doing in the earth now than we've ever seen before. Okay? Watch this. 5785, it holds significant meaning in Jewish tradition. And in there are tons of prophetic implications. I'm just going to go through a few of these because I really want to break the scripture down for you. But it is seen as a year of, let me know if you've heard this, spiritual transition. Is it not comical on some levels about what the Lord starts talking to us about, and then we move into this? And if you all think that me or even Rebecca getting it in October is good enough to study that out and figure it out before it happens and then say, oh, you know what, here's what it is. You bumped your head. As a matter of fact, I was sitting at my table yesterday and I said, babe, I said, I'm ignorantly prophetic. Seriously, I'm ignorantly prophetic. What do you mean? I had no clue in 2019 that it started a decade that has to do with the mouth when he told us to keep our mouth shut. I thought he was just correcting us and telling us to keep our mouth shut. So I've come to terms with the fact that I'm ignorantly prophetic, and so I'm okay with it. Spiritual transition, divine grace, and a call to embrace leadership roles. Okay, let's break this down really quick. I've already done it. Let me just give you the prophetic implications. Number one, it's a number for grace. Five is a number for grace, okay? So it's a year emphasizing that there is divine grace and redemption. And that connects with what I just told you about the Passover, okay? I'm going to break this down. Crossing over into change. It's a Hebrew word, abar, meaning to cross over. We got one more river to cross. Do you remember that? We talked about it in the summer. We have one more supernatural river to cross at the baptism. And he was preparing us for where he's trying to take us. It's going into a spacious place. Everybody say, yes, Jesus. Yeah, a spacious place. That's number three. Number four, it's a king priest anointing. What has he been talking to us about for years? How did Jesus introduce us to the Father? In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, he introduced us to the Father. Father, this is Ryan. He is a king and a priest. Father, this is Awakening Church. They are a nation of kings and priests. Read it. It's in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. This year is a year that begins to embrace the anointing of the king priest. You can look at David. You can look at Moses. You can look at Jesus, whatever you want to do. But this is the year where we actually begin to rule in a place of government in the spirit. I'm not talking about the natural government. Listen, no, I don't even care what happens in the natural government. Like, let me say this. I care because I'm praying I don't want any babies to be murdered. So I care about that. And that's the single thing that I vote on. But I don't care what happens in the natural government because I know who sits on the circle of the earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so he's moving us into this area of governmental leadership as kings and priests. And we do it here. The reason priest is so important is because the only way we move into that is we do it from a place of actually ministering to the Lord. Actually ministering to the Lord, okay? Are y'all okay? Number five, deliverance through praise and giving. Deliverance through praise and giving. So I can't even put it together any better than what it is. And so I've got some practical applications. Here's where I want to go. Let's go back to the text. Ask the Egyptians for silver and gold. This was in the midst of national tragedy when plagues were dominating the scene. God speaks through the apostolic and prophetic voice and makes declaration that there will be a distinction between the people of God and those who oppose him. Okay? In verse 7, but among the Israelites it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction. Listen, I want to say this with as much clarity as I possibly can, and I need you to hear me if you don't hear anything else I say. God is making a distinction between his people and those that oppose him. I am so, I don't have a good politically correct word. I am so tired of hearing people who claim the name of God, getting everything that's happening in their life from what they hear on the news. If it's happening on the news, it must be coming to my house. Can I tell you that at 16301 Dry Ridge Road, we have a completely different approach to that. Just because it looks like it's happening in the earth doesn't mean that it's coming to my house. And he told the children of Israel, I am going to make a distinction between you and the Egyptians. In the midst of national tragedy, I am going to make a demarcation that my people will look different, sound different, be different than those who are in the national calamity. And I hear Christians all the time, they talk about, oh my goodness, it happened in 2020, guys. It happened in 2020 when COVID went crazy and all this stuff. We just automatically started taking it. Well, I guess it's coming to us. I guess. Are you kidding me? Like, did the principles of healing and listen, just like what David said, when things come, it doesn't mean that everybody is exempt and we don't have to deal with hard things. We do. I lost loved ones in 2020. You lost loved ones in 2020. It was really, really hard. But to let it get us to a point to where we say, I guess the principles of this book are not working because of what I'm reading and hearing on the news. I'm telling you, God is trying to prepare us because there are things that are coming that are going to begin to mirror that and probably worse. If that can happen, what else can happen? And we have to have, I was having a conversation with someone the other day that I love dearly. I love them so much. And I was having a conversation with them because they were just giving into something. And I said, God, I said, we're not doing that. Like, we're not going to just give into it because it feels like it's happening in a place of reality. And so now it's here and now I'm done and I'm just giving into it. That's not how we're going to live our life. And God said, I want you to tell them that there is going to be a demarcation. And here's how you'll know it. It's going to be the beginning of a brand new year for them. It's going to be a beginning. I want to be very clear. You're going to begin to hear if you put your ear to the ground, you're going to begin to hear things where there is a complete separation between the people of God and those that oppose him. Now watch this. See, we have thought the separating of the sheep and the goats, and we've thought about the wheat and the tares and all that stuff. Just like good Christian people, we make everything about when we're going to heaven. But I'm telling you, there is a separation that's coming. And you're going to know, it's kind of wild, but we'll actually begin to see scripture unfold. You're going to know them by the fruit they bear. You're going to know them by the fruit they bear. And there will be a separation between those who love God and those who don't love God. I don't have time to teach you that the scripture, I don't have time to do this, but I want you to go back and read. There'll be one in the field and one taken. You thought that was about the rapture. Go read it again. There's going to be a separation. The one that was actually left was the one that was actually doing what they were supposed to do. I'm just telling you. And so I want to be very clear. There's going to be, we have to recover as a body of believers the fact that we believe that his goodness and his mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Guys, I'm telling you, whatever you hear, whatever you see coming, you prepare your heart for how you're going to respond to that. And some of us have still not learned how to not respond in fear. And I'm telling you, Psalm 91 is an assurance that though evil may come, it's not coming to my house. And what is the secret to that? What is the secret? He who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me just read verses 9 through 12. This is the Passion Translation. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You can keep reading. It's really good. But we can't just decide to turn that off because it gets hard out here. Are you with me? We can't just decide to turn that off and say, well, I guess it doesn't work today. And I think I've told you all this before. I have set my heart for a year now. I do not get out of the bed. I don't look at a text message. I don't do anything until I read Psalm 91 over me and my family. And then I read the Lord's Prayer over me and my family. I read Ephesians 1, 17 and 18 over me and my family. And I put every family member in there in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are giving Trenton, Cameron, Haley, Brady, Rebecca, and myself, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, and that our insights are growing and we're knowing you more. It's the first thing I do. And then I read John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Why? Because it assures me that if I pray anything in your will, that it will be done. And so I read those four scriptures before I do anything, because I decided just because I'm seeing something happen and national calamity, it is not coming to my house. Moses got the word of the Lord for the new year, and that he said, I'm going to make a distinction between that. Let me give you some New Testament references, because I know Psalm 91 is Old Testament. You may say that's Old Covenant, so I came prepared. I'm ready. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, but the Lord Yahweh is always faithful to place you on a firm foundation and guard you from the evil one. Amen. Luke 10, 19. Now understand that I have imparted to you my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power of Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, 4. Little children, you can be certain that you belong to God and have conquered them. For the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 17 and 18. For in spite of this, my Lord himself stood with me, empowering me to complete my ministry of preaching to all the non-Jewish nations so they could hear the message and be delivered from the mouth of the lion. And my Lord will continue to deliver me from every form of evil and give me life in this heavenly kingdom. May all the glory go to him alone for all ages of eternity. How do I make that my own? Thank you, Lord, that you will continue to deliver me from every form of evil and that you will give me life in this heavenly kingdom. And may all of the glory go to you and you alone forever. That's how you make it yours. Guys, I'm telling you, one of the things the enemy has done he has sent these arrows of fear. He sent these arrows of difficulty. He sent these arrows of questioning and doubt. How many of you have looked at things over the last 5 years and you've had more questions than you had answers over and over and over again? I'm telling you, I did. I've looked at the church. I've looked at scripture. And I've had more questions than I had answers. I've looked at everything. The thing that hasn't moved, though, is the Father has been consistent in every single application and every single thing that I have gone after. The Father has been absolutely consistent, and it is his life demonstrated through Jesus that I am actually able to figure out what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to go. I'm telling you, there is a demarcation coming to the people of God. Y'all okay? Hey, stop accepting everything you see in the news. There is a faith rest realm that we can live in. There is peace that is the peace of Jesus. Do you know Jesus the Messiah said, my peace I leave with you, and his peace is not fragile. His peace is not fragile. We live in a moment right now where everybody, I mean people, are chasing after anxiety. Acting like it's chasing them, but they're chasing after it over and over again. And I'm not saying it's not a real thing. It is. We have dealt with it in our home. Please understand me. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the peace that Jesus left us is not fragile. And I have to take inventory. If I begin to feel anxiety, and I do, and I begin to feel things coming into my life, and I have to take inventory and find out what happened. Where did I stop looking at your face? Where did I stop getting into your word? Where did I stop talking to you and praying in the Holy Ghost and bringing me into places that actually do it? And I have to take inventory every time because it comes. But his peace is not fragile. I think I'm yelling because I feel like I have to hurry. It may just be because I'm excited, but I think I'm yelling because I feel like I have to hurry. Thank you. Hallelujah. Can I get another one? Okay. All right. Watch this. This is huge. This is huge for the body of Christ. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says this is going to be a new year. And then he gives them what the focus is. Are you ready? The focus was the lamb. It's actually crazy that he has to continue to reiterate to his body that he is the focus. It actually can be embarrassingly critical for us to understand that the focus was the lamb. The focus is not the fact that he said, I want you to ask for silver and gold. The focus is not even that he's bringing them out of bondage. The focus is that he had to prepare them once again and tell them, I'm bringing you out so that you can worship and focus on me. And I'm telling you, it's what he's saying to his body. I'm telling you, if I've ever heard anything in my life, it's what he's saying to his body right now. You better learn to focus on the lamb. What did I say 2 weeks ago? Over and over and over again in my spirit. You don't remember what I said, but if you look at your notes, you might. Over and over again, I said, make room for the king. Make room for the king. Why? Because he's coming. He's coming. And I'm not saying he's coming and splitting the eastern sky and taking us all to heaven. I'm saying he's coming to dwell among us in our midst. He is coming and we are going to heaven. But right now, what we need him to do is come and bring revival to our lost family members. We need him to come and bring revival to those who don't know him and don't bear his name. We need him to come and bring healing to hospitals and cancer wards, because I've got a little cousin that's 2 years old that has a recurring brain cancer, and I need him to come right now and bring healing to little Ezra. And so I'm not asking for him to just come and take me out of here. I'm asking him to put me in a place where I so focus on the Lamb and I'm able to walk in a place that releases healing to other people. And I'm telling you, the body of Christ better get their ish together when it comes to focusing on him. I can give you the Greek for that if you'd like. Skubala. You thought I was playing. Skubala. I count it all dung. Whatever you want to call it. Make room for the king. I keep hearing this phrase over and over in my spirit. Make room for the king. Listen, what has happened in the body of Christ? When you continually shift your responsibilities, you define your list of priorities. I said it weeks ago. When you continue to shift your responsibilities, you define your list of priorities. And it's okay, but don't act like it's something it's not. Whatever has your affection ultimately gets your worship. Whatever it is that has your affection ultimately gets your worship. And if your worship is based on how you feel, who is sitting on the throne? If your worship is based on the opinions of other people, who is sitting on the throne? Worship is directly connected to your relationship with the Father. Help us, Jesus. We have to deal with tough questions. We have to deal with tough questions. I don't know why he anointed me to ask tough questions, but he did. Because he asked me first all the time. And here's one of the tough questions. We have to deal with the fact and ask the question, why is it hard to engage in extended periods of worship and prayer? I have an answer. It's because you don't do it. It's because we don't do it. You see this right here? This is from shoveling a driveway. I had gloves on, but the shovel kept hitting this same exact spot. But I was in the middle of it, and I wouldn't stop because I had to get a path cleared. And I went in, and literally, it's as wide as that is right there, it's wide open, raw, like skin gone. Why? Because I don't do that with a shovel every day. Had I done it with a shovel, there would have been endurance built up in that hand right there that could handle it. I wish I had some help in here. When we begin to ask the question of why I don't engage in worship and why I don't engage in extended times of prayer and why in corporate settings it feels like it can be boring and all this stuff, the answer is we don't do it. We don't do it. Worship leaders, every worship leader in here that has ever held a mic, you get up there and you wonder, why don't people go into the presence of God like I watch with other people? Why didn't it happen like this? It's because the only time you lead worship is when you have a microphone in your hand. I promise I have good news. Ryan, why are you saying this? Because I had times in 2024 when it was hard as Hades to even get in and come into this place over and over and over again. And I said, why am I doing this? And he said, what does this look like in your life? Do you know why it feels this way? In his grace, he said, because you're not doing it. You say, well, you come in every week and you're prepared. Yeah, just because I do it a little more than somebody else doesn't mean I'm doing it to the level that is my calling and what I'm supposed to do. Can I help you with that? Just because what you do is a little better than those that are in front, behind you doesn't mean that you are living up to your potential and the level that he's called you to. And when we find ourselves saying, man, it's boring. I can't get in today. I don't want to do this. We have to answer the question, why? And the answer every time is because we don't do it. Other things have taken our priorities. Other things have become so important to us. And we tried to justify it in every way. And God said, listen, if I'm going to bring you out and I'm going to do this, the focus is going to be the Lamb. And that's why I had to start by telling you, if you do the same thing that you have done in this last year, it's going to be the exact same thing. But if you can get yourself to a place where you actually begin to acknowledge the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and function in what he's called you to function in, then you get to live in the last part of what I'm getting ready to tell you about. The Bible says in verse number 36 that as they walked out, they plundered Egypt. They plundered Egypt. They stripped them of their wealth. I've told you before, and I tell you, after I have to answer the question, why are we not seeing this? Why are we not seeing that? Why are we not experiencing that? Why have we not moved into this? It doesn't come to you before it comes to me. And I have to say, I guess I'm at a spot where I can't handle the weight of inheritance. God, help me and give me a whole year where I can actually mature and become one who can handle the weight of inheritance so that I can actually leave something to my children, because a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I have to ask the question, why? And every time, I was talking to Rebecca yesterday, we were having a heartfelt conversation. And we were asking some of these questions. And never is the answer because God turned away from me. Never is the answer because he didn't do his part. It's always me. Do you understand that? It's always me. And we have become so good at justifying why we don't focus on the Lamb. And why there are other things on the throne of our hearts. You say, Ryan, you are preaching hard to start the year. Yeah, because I decided. Remember what I just talked to you about deciding? I decided that 2024 is not going to be the same as 2025. You know what I'm talking about. If y'all was hearing with the Spirit, you'd have known exactly what I was talking about right there. Thank you for my wife helping me. I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. Do you understand? I want to be really clear. I'm not going to do things just because it's church stuff that we've always done and we think we need to do. I have been so set free from that. I'm not doing it because I think you need another word. I'm going to do a whole webinar in February, and you can get on there if you want to hear the word. I'm not going to do it just because you think you need to hear something. We need to stay into the routine of doing it over and over and over again. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about discipleship, because we talk about this a lot. We've got to increase discipleship, and we do. But here's what's true. You cannot keep one person who wants to be discipled from being discipled. You can't keep them from it. And you're not going to disciple someone who has decided in their heart they don't want to be discipled. You're not going to do it. You're going to continue to beat your head against the wall. And I'll be doggone if I'm going to teach my kids not to run their head into a wall and then me turn around and do it over and over and over again. Bill Johnson didn't show up today. He did not show up today. I believe that God is speaking to us about the release of abundance because he's purifying the motives in the body. Because what I'm getting ready to talk to you about now, can I finish? Is it okay if I just finish what I'm getting ready to talk to you about right now? If our motives aren't pure, you're going to miss it and you're going to think bad about me. You hear me? He's speaking to us about the release of abundance because he's purifying our motives. And the way our motives are purified at every level, do you know how? It's by looking at him. It's by looking at him. If you go read Acts chapter 13, the prayer meeting at Antioch where Paul and Barnabas are called out to go be the missionaries to the Gentiles, it's in the context of ministering to the Lord in a prayer meeting, in the place of fasting and prayer. And it says, give me Paul and Barnabas, two of the greatest preachers in the New Testament, period. And the church thrived and kept going with their removal because they were functioning in what the Lord had called them to do. And there are things that the Lord is calling me to do that we're going to have to learn how to function without me doing certain things and without you doing certain things, because you have decided that you're actually going to engage in what he's saying. And listen, I understand. I've already made some of you mad and I'm okay with it. I love you and you're going to love me and we can have a talk about it anytime you want to. I know that that's what happens and we can talk about it. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to back down from the word of the Lord, and I'm not going to back down from what I know that he has told me. And you're going to have to be okay with your decisions and then be okay with my decisions as well. I know I'm talking plain today, but it's because I am so convinced that he is releasing a mega, mega wealth of abundance to the body of Christ. And I'm going to make sure that I am ready to handle the weight of it. I'm going to make sure that I'm ready to do that. And I so bad want you to come with me, but I'm not going to miss it if you don't. The only way that our motives are purified at every level is by looking at him, beholding, gazing in adoration, the one who is worthy. That's how you begin to purify your motives. Here's why it's so important for me to talk about motives real quick, because if I don't, we can fall into the trap of believing that he's going to release abundance to the body of Christ for selfish reasons, and it's not the case. As a matter of fact, he will not release abundance into the body of Christ if we do not have pure motives. This is why we get so frustrated with I hate this word, this phrase, prosperity gospel. I hate that because it's taken such a negative connotation, but it is so connected to wrong motives. Listen, he did not give the children of Israel silver and gold from Egypt just so they could have more stuff. He did it because he was making a demarcation between his people and the people who opposed him. The wise men brought gold, silver, and myrrh. No, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. She was listening in the spirit right there. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh to sustain Mary, Joseph, and the baby of Jesus for years to come. Do you understand that? And so he's purifying our motives so that he can release abundance into us so that we can then fund what he wants to do on the earth so that on earth begins to look like heaven. Are you with me? And I want to be very clear about that as well. I'm so convinced that this is what he's doing, that there's nothing that can change our mind. I could walk down a line and show you where his goodness and his favor has come into my life, and I can show you where it was hindered because I had a mentality that did not know how to handle what he was trying to release to me. Are you with me? And so this new year, he's redeeming our motives. He's redeeming our thought process around this. And we can't decide to turn scripture off because somebody around us doesn't like the fact that we're walking in a place of abundance. I've had to live that. My mom's not here today, but she had to walk into churches wearing clothes that she rarely got to get a new dress or a new set of clothes. And somebody who was not ignorantly prophetic, they were just ignorant, walked up to her and said, "Did my tithe money pay for that?" I've lived this stuff. I could tell you these things. And it's because we are ignorant when it comes to what the Lord wants to do with money. Listen, whether you want to acknowledge this or not or believe it, the richest man to ever live was God's king, Solomon. You can do with that whatever you want. I'm telling you this because it's so emphatic what he says. He says, "I want you to tell them," and watch this. "I want you to tell them after I have brought frogs and hailstones and darkness and all of these things, I want you to tell them that the God who did that now told me to come to your house and say, 'Listen, I need you to give me some silver and gold. And I need you to give it to me because the Lord said to do such.'" And then after you tell them that, "I want you to go tell Pharaoh, 'I'm finna kill your kids.'" I'm taking your firstborn. And listen, he's not playing. I'm not just taking the firstborn of Pharaoh. I'm taking the firstborn of the meal lady who grinds the flour. I'm not just stopping there. I'm taking the firstborn of every animal, every cattle, because you're going to know that there is a difference between my people and the people of Egypt. And my people, watch this, are going to be so blessed and so content that when I come through and I do this and I make the demarcation, their dogs aren't even going to bark to let you know that I have done it. They're going to be so at peace and resting. And this is the beginning of a new year. You get to clean this up next week. What I'm telling you is the truth. Do you understand it? I understand that I'm being a little emphatic today, but I'm doing it because this is how he's speaking to my heart. Do you know that I'm moving into this place? I'm literally moving into this place where every decision that I make in a day, I have to begin to think, okay, am I doing this because I just want to do it? Are my motives pure? Am I doing this? And is it going to further what he's actually calling me to do? I'm having to ask God, are you transitioning me in my mind in a certain way? I'm having to ask all of these different things. That's why I'm so emphatic, because he has been speaking to me now for months about worship and abundance. And I didn't have any cotton picking clue what 5785 meant, even though my wife said it. Verse 36 of Exodus 12, I'm almost done. The Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites, and they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for, so they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. Now, I want you to go back to what I just said a while ago. Frogs, boils, hail, darkness, and I'm taking the firstborn. And somehow, they looked favorably on the children of Israel. And I like what the New King James says. They plundered Egypt. They plundered them. This was the result of obedience in the face of national calamity. Do you hear me? What he did for them was the result of obedience in the face of national calamity. This was the result of them putting the lamb in the proper perspective. And this was the result of the hand of the Lord being on his people. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. You need to make this a declaration over your life. If you believe what I'm saying, if you don't, then you don't have to write it down. It's fine. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24 and 26. So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy anything apart from him? Listen to this. Listen to this. God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. How many of you desire to please him? Seriously, desire to please him. It's talking to you. It's talking to you. God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please him. Do you hear me? We don't just get to turn that off and say it doesn't work like that anymore. I'm telling you, there is a demarcation coming, and you're going to see it. You're going to begin to see it. You're going to begin to experience it. Now watch this. Don't act like you just get to take it by osmosis. If you're not tied to his system, that's the first thing you need to do. You need to get tied to his system, his financial system. And the system of the kingdom is everything is always upside down. It just is. How it works. I didn't make it up. I've tried to fight it, as a matter of fact, from time to time. It didn't work out for me. So once I gave in and decided, you know what? I'm actually going to do this. You know what's crazy about Awakening Church?
This is wild. And I wasn't even sure I was going to talk to you about this. We had one of the lowest income years in 2024 that we've had in the last several years. Seriously, we did. This is why I say I'm ignorantly prophetic, because I started talking about abundance last year. I started talking about abundance last year at the beginning of the year, whether you remembered or not. That's what I said. And so the income dropped. Do you know when the income increased? 2 years ago when I did a series on giving and stewardship. Do you know why? Because we still have lordship issues. And when it's in front of us, we'll actually do it. I'm trying to help us, guys, so we don't do the same thing over and over again, okay? Watch this. Because these are principles that Awakening Church has been founded on. One of the lowest income years that we've had in several years. By percentage, it was the highest amount that we have given away in the history of Awakening Church, by percentage. Why? Because we're connected to his principles, and his principles are his automations. And so I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you notice I didn't get up here and give you some big long speech about taking up offering. We had service in 2 weeks, all that stuff. I didn't do it. Why? I want you to give, and I want you to be a part of it because you need to. He's going to take care of his church because his principles are his automations. And I say that in humility, whether you decide to give or not in the moment. He is going to take care of us. He does every single time. And our answer, when we started noticing, you can go ask our administrator, Heather, when we started noticing that our income was dropping and that people, and some of it is people are not giving for whatever reason. I don't know. Some of it is because we're just not a huge church. But our giving per capita has been through the roof. Guys, I'm telling you this for a reason. I'm not taking up another offering, so don't even act like that. That's not where we're at. I'm telling you this because the principles that we have built what the Lord is asking us to do on. We started noticing it, and the first thing that I did is I said, okay, we're going to give more money away. That's what we're going to do. We gave away almost $4,000 again this year. Just gave it away. Since we've been tracking it in 2015, this little body. Now, when we were at Research Drive, we were a little bigger, 150, 170. And so that says a lot to say that our largest percentage of giving money away was this year, based on what you see around here. Since 2015, since we've been monitoring it, we've given away over $315,000, just giving it away. We give it to ministries. We give it to people. We build houses in Argentina. We give to missionaries in Thailand. We just give it away. Why? Because I decided when we planted this ministry that we are going to do what he has outlined for us in the principles of his scripture. And he's bringing us to this place right now. I really am done. Where we're going to focus on the Lamb, and we're going to begin to see abundance in our lives. I am at a place right now, I don't even have time to navigate all of the ideas that he's bringing to me right now. Seriously. That's the honest truth. Business idea after business idea after business idea. One of these days, I'm going to do a webinar, and I'm going to give away some of my business ideas. When I say give away, they ain't gonna be free. I'm not playing. We got to break this thought process. You've heard me say this before. I've been a musician for most of my life, and I go to these places, and they're like, "Oh man, I love the way you play the keyboard and the way you worship. Can you lay hands on me and impart that to me?" Absolutely. In Jesus' name, give them a grace to practice. Because that's what it takes. He may get mad at me for saying this, but one of the best voices in this whole building right now, I said right here, Cody Martin, and I knew him when he was a little fella, and he went around singing all the time. I'm talking about at obscure times when he probably shouldn't have been singing. He was singing. And he does. You know why? Because he was practicing the gift that the Lord gave him. And now when you listen to him open his mouth, he actually changes atmospheres in whatever he does. Because he didn't stop practicing what the Lord had given him. He didn't ever walk up and say, lay hands on me and impart that to me. He walked up, grabbed the mic a few times when he probably shouldn't have, and started singing in the middle of service, but it was okay. I was here for it. Guys, what I'm saying to you is we gotta break this thought process of we're just gonna get given to us everything. We don't have to do anything for it. Do you understand? I really hope that I've communicated my heart today. I'm not angry. I'm not. I have decided I'm not going to do in 2025 what I did in 2024. That's what I've decided. Because he's calling me to something more. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe and wading through the funniness and wanting to laugh at me or hit me or whatever you want to do right now? How many of you believe that he's actually speaking to us today and saying that we can do something different in 2025 than what we did in 2024? I'm telling you, it's available. Why don't you stand right now? And why don't you just put your hands out like this? And we're just going to receive it today in the name of Jesus. We're going to begin to see a shift in this area of abundance. It's not so that we can have more stuff. It's because from a place of ministering to the Lord, he's purifying our motives like he did Isaiah's lips in Isaiah 6. This happens in the place of encounter. Giving us the desires of our heart is not him giving me what I think I need and want in the moment. He's actually purifying my desires. That's what he's doing. When he gives me those desires, he's purifying and giving me what I should be desiring. He gives me what I should be desiring. And the if and then principle is in effect just like it was for the children of Israel. And Joshua and Caleb are the only ones that followed that, the if and then principle. So Father, in the name of Jesus, give us a grace to answer the if so that we can live in the then. Give us a grace to walk in what you're calling us to walk in. God, I'm asking right now in this room that you would release a grace to put the Lamb at front and center, that our focus would be on the Lamb. Our focus would be on what it is that you are doing and what it is that you're saying to us right now, and that you would prepare our hearts so that we can move into the level of abundance that you're wanting us to give. And God, we know that abundance is not just talking about money. We know that abundance means that our loved ones are coming home. We know that it means that our families are being reunited. We know that it means that you are releasing kingdom strategies for influencing nations for the power of the gospel. We understand that you are giving new melodies to musicians. You're giving new melodies to singers. You're giving words to writers. You're giving abundance in every area. That's what you're releasing to us. And we say yes to that. Today, we say yes. Come on, would you just begin to open your mouth and just right now, just begin to tell him, this is what we want. This is what we're asking for. Align my desires with the desires of your heart, God. Break my heart for what breaks yours and let me rejoice over what you rejoice in. Thank you, God, that you're making a demarcation between your people and those who oppose you. And we will walk in a freedom that we've never known before. You're breaking bondage. You're breaking the bondage of religion. You're breaking the bondage of culture. You're breaking the bondage of the lies of trying to keep up with the Joneses. You're breaking the lie in Jesus' name and releasing real kingdom abundance in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Honor you. And we say yes. We say that we are going to do our absolute best, knowing that we are human, knowing that we are finite, knowing that we are not perfect, knowing that we're going to miss the mark from time to time. We're going to do our absolute best to walk in what it is that you are calling us to walk in and to steward what it is that you're giving us. God, give us a grace like David to say that your judgments are right and they're pure. That when you look at us, you see the real us. With every facade removed, give us a grace to move in the power and anointing that you've called us to move in from the place of ministering to you. God, I'm asking right now that you would release endurance to your people right now in the place of prayer, and that we would no longer be those who can say we get bored with prayer because we don't do it. We could no longer be those that say we get bored in worship because we don't do it, but we would so engage our hearts that we would make you a priority and you would sit on the throne of our hearts in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.